Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Koinonia House up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, one of my favorite guests, and I hope he is yours too, Chuck Missler. Chuck, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, Dr. Stan, nice being with you.
Well, now we were going to talk today about your strategic appraisal of what's going on. As we read the papers, as we watch the television day after day, we hear about how America is involved in Iraq, and of course there seem to be more casualties, there seems to be more animosity. The Iraqi army that we've been training ran for cover when there was a confrontation, the police wouldn't fight. We're supposed to turn control of Iraq over to the provisional government there, 30th of June, and there's a serious question, who are we going to turn the provisional government over to? What's going on? Let's get your assessment of what's going on in the Middle East and in the Near East.
Well, I think that clearly we've got some challenges in Iraq. I think that there's more progress has been made, I think, than is generally shown on the media, because, but at the same time, it's a serious problem. And obviously, both Tony Blair and George Bush are very, very clearly committed to the June 30 date, and so it's going to be a challenge. I think that it's a shame, really, that this is all an election year, because we have so much propagandizing, if you will, by the left, that it's hard to really get this in perspective. It's hard to get a real handle on that. I do think, I have a strong reason to believe that the weapons of mass destruction everybody's been looking for are in Syria. In fact, some of them are in very specific known locations.
I mean, I know that's so interesting, Chuck, because we've been telling our listeners that for a long time. I had other sources of information. Dory Gold, the former Iraqi ambassador to the United Nations, I asked him when he was our guest, what about those reports? And we said, oh, they're in Syria. Joel Skousen has said they're in Syria. So why doesn't the Bush administration tell us that they know where they are? Why won't they tell us that they're in Syria? Why are they, taking the rap for this when, because this is going to be used to beat George Bush over the head with? They know they've been moved to Syria. So why don't they come out and tell the American people the truth?
I think they will. I think they're going to probably do it in October.
All right. Sort of like an October surprise, then.
Yeah, it sounds like just a flippant remark, and in part it is, I guess. But at the same time, if I was in the driver's seat and had the ability to do so, I think I would try to have them surface at the most opportune time. And the most opportune time, I think, would be as we get closer to the election. If whatever happens in the month of April and May will be forgotten when you get to November, there's so much turbulence coming. Let's shift to that a little bit, because that's part of the background here. You know, for over a year now, I have personally been very puzzled as to why Al-Qaeda and its operatives have not tried to take down domestic U.S. flights. The surface-to-air missile market, there's over two dozen brands on that market. They are available on the black market for a few thousand dollars each, and I cannot imagine they're that difficult to smuggle into this country if someone shows a little ingenuity. So the net of it is I have to assume that the Al-Qaeda cells that are in the U.S., there's several dozen of them, must have possession of these devices. Now they can bring down.
Hold that thought for just a minute. We're going to have to just take a quick break and bring another station on board.
You bet.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Chuck Missler from the Koinonia House in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And Chuck has a lot of contacts in intelligence. He has a top secret clearance, and he's been involved with defense work for many years in various companies he's headed and been the CEO of, but now he's in full-time Christian ministry. And we were talking about what's going on in the Middle East. Chuck had mentioned that he had good reason to believe that the weapons of mass destruction that everybody's fussing about have been moved into Syria. And of course, we have told you this in the past. We have this from several excellent sources, and maybe Chuck will tell us, or maybe he can't tell us how he knows they're there. I can tell you how I know that they're there, or why I believe that they're there. But then he's talking about, of course, the things that are going to be coming up in the coming months. So pick up the story from there.
Okay, well, I think that let's pick up the SAM thing first.
Surface air missile, right?
Yeah, surface air missiles, because they have a capability of about 15,000 feet, and the newest Russian one, the Igla, the SA 18, is not a tail chaser. It'll hit head on. But the main point is, these devices are not that difficult to learn how to use. You could get briefed on it in 15 minutes. They're that not that hard, and. So the point is, normal domestic flights obviously are very vulnerable on takeoff and landing while they're at pattern altitude, basically. And so parking a van at the right location and bringing one or two of these down on a weekend, I believe, would create sheer panic coast to coast in this country. I think that you would have martial law within 24 hours. You would have a business travel grind to a halt. The economic impact of just a few, two or three domestic flights brought down, in concert some way, would just shake this country. And what puzzles me is that certainly would be consistent with what we understand the goals of Al-Qaeda are. The means are available. What puzzles me is why it hasn't happened for over the last year and a half or whatever.
All right, can I ask raise another point? And I agree with you. Why have there been no terrorist attacks? But why have we not put the diversionary things that on our aircraft that the Israelis have had on theirs for 10 or 15 years? We have the capacity to do it, and it would certainly be a lot cheaper to put that on than, of course, to destroy the airline industry. So the question is, why have we steadfastly refused to do what was logical in the face of this very real potential problem that you've raised?
Well, I think in part is it's expensive, because you're talking many thousands of planes. You're talking a non-trivial investment to create the devices. But the real point I was getting at
is... Hold that thought right there, Chuck. Bring on the other stations. There we are. Okay. And we're right back with Chuck Missler. And we were just talking about why we haven't put the diversionary instruments on our planes. Chuck has made the point, and a very valid one, that it would be very easy for the Al-Qaeda cells to get hold of their surface-to-air missiles. And he raises the point, why in over 2 years haven't they been any of our domestic airplanes shot down? And then, of course, I raise the question as to why we hadn't put the diversionary material onto our planes that they have on every Israeli plane. They seem to be intent upon protecting their passengers, and it will cost a lot more than $10 billion if we destroy the airline industry here, which I think Chuck's point is so valid, that if we take down a couple of planes, people would just quit flying. And after all, we're putting so much money into rebuilding Iraq, I would think that instead of putting, a couple of $100 billion into rebuilding Iraq, or at least $100 billion, we would spend $10 billion to protect the American airline industry. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, I think the thing I was raising is also the mystery. Why haven't they done it so far? And it finally dawned on me, in my personal cynicism, if you will, that I think that they will not do, let me generalize the question. Why hasn't Al-Qaeda drop the other shoe, so to speak? Obviously, September 11th of 2001 is not the end of it. They are going to, and they may have, the other thing I may not be allowing for here is that Homeland Security may be doing a far better job than I'm assuming. But the real point I'm getting at is it finally dawned on me, from Al-Qaeda's perspective, I believe they're going to lay low until after the election. My presumption is if they did some major event between here and November, that would play into the hands of the present administration, which I assume Al-Qaeda would be happier to see a change of administration. We have the most experienced team in place than we've ever had in this country. where the top officers are all people with substantial experience in what they're doing. So the net of it is I suspect Al-Qaeda would prefer to see a change of administration. And in that spirit, then, it's my presumption that they're laying low specifically until after the election. Now, if my premise is correct, I would expect after the election, independent of whatever outcome comes this fall, there is going to be turbulence like we can't imagine.
I think you're probably right. But, one of the reasons, and I'd like your thought on this, Chuck, one of the reasons I think we haven't had any major attacks is because immediately after the 9/11 attack, we arrested 1,200 Muslims. Now, who did we know to arrest? Why, these people were terrorists. They'd been, we know from the president's daily briefing there on the 6th of August that the FBI was monitoring 70 Al-Qaeda cells or 70 Al-Qaeda facilities in the United States. I think they picked all those people up, put them in prison, and many of them are still there. But they can't tell the American people they were terrorists because we've been told they couldn't infiltrate the terrorist cells. So how could we justify, arresting all those people immediately afterwards? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have no particular information on those specifics. I think that it's very likely that our Homeland Security resources are probably doing a far better job than we have any idea, because clearly it's in their interest not to disclose the steps that they have taken. We do know from a number of sources that the Al-Qaeda cells are very, very active. They are on flights, primarily gathering information, studying very carefully our procedures and the rest of it. So it's my presumption from what little bits and pieces I do gather is that, and by the way, I should probably correct you, Stan, because you made some remarks earlier. I do not, at the present time, hold a security clearance.
Well,
and that's important. I have had, of course, all kinds of clearances in my past, but I think it's important that we not misrepresent my posture in terms of I do not have an active clearance, and therefore, and I also, even in spite of that, I try to be somewhat cautious in the kinds of information that we do pass along, because we're dealing in very sensitive areas. But I think the whole issue of Homeland Security, I think the turbulence we can expect once the election is resolved, is going to be very substantial, and that creates all kinds of problems. I sit on a number of boards and stuff where we're trying to make some plans, for the late this year and the early part of next year. And frankly, candidly, discussions with professionals in the travel industry get very problematic in terms of the kind of environment we're going to be facing come the year end and following, because if things go the way I suspect they may, I think especially international travel is going to be much more difficult than it is today.
Okay, one of the things I've never understood is, why is it that the Bush administration has done everything they could to block, our pilots from getting carrying weapons, in the cockpit? I think less than 2% of our commercial pilots now have been allowed to have guns, and even then, they have to keep them locked every minute of the time until the door is locked, and then they can have it. Once the door is locked, then they can have their gun. They unlock the door to go to the bathroom. They have to put the gun away. I don't understand why they made it so hard for the pilot to be able to defend the airplane. Do you have any ideas on that?
Well, I think the use of small arms on an aircraft at altitude is a non-trivial issue. I've gotten the impression that part of the controversy in this whole issue comes from the pilots' associations themselves, because it's a simpler response, by the way, and I think this is underway these days, is to have undercover people on each flight. Where they can do some good, namely in the passenger compartment, unidentified, having operatives trained. Now, part of the problem here is to get people that are competently trained, because you're dealing with a lot of flights per day, and it's my presumption, but I have to tell you candidly, it's my presumption. I'm not trading on information here. Is that our procedures do include that? I think the whole TSA organization is one of the most mismanaged messes I've ever seen in terms of. The hassle that professional travelers have to go through is, in my personal view, unconscionable. The people that are doing it mean well, and they're better trained now than they were, of course, not long ago. But I think the nonsense that we go through at the airports is the silliest charade I've ever seen. The most targeted airline in over the last more than 50 years is El Al, and they don't have incidents. And the reason they don't is they know what they're doing. They do not subject their passengers to the kind of foolishness that we have to go through just in normal business travel here in the States. It's really silly. It's partly, I regard it primarily as mismanagement.
Or either that, or it really sort of showed it, sort of give the idea that we're really doing something to stop the more terrorist hijackings.
I suspect the cynics in our community would probably point out that probably a lot of this is simply to condition us to get ready for a national ID card.
I think you're probably right. Well, so you're anticipating that there'll be an increase in the tempo of violence in the United States next year. Is there any information on these Al-Qaeda cells? Because we know that, you know, the government said we couldn't infiltrate them, and then we finally, they were monitoring 70 different terrorist cells here, you know, as of the 6th of August of the year 2001. So obviously they had a pretty good handle on the Islamic radicals.
Well, I think that there's another fiction that I think we're all subject to, and I know I'll offend some of your listeners by what I'm about to say, but I do not mean to impugn, you know, the rank and file peace-loving Muslim community. But on the other hand, what's really clear is that, you know, this presentation by our administration that we're victims of a few radicals that have hijacked the peaceful religion is a mythology that is tragic, because the leadership of Islam has virtually encouraged and demanded the very actions that we're talking about. These extremists, as they're portrayed, are simply committed people following the dictates of the leadership of that community. And I think that one of the shocking things that Avi Lipkin pointed out to us on one of his recent visits, he happened to come here from Canada because he was making some visits in the north of the border, but he discovered some startling things, without getting into the anecdotal detail, basically some people who have transferred here to North America from Egypt discovered that they had pressures put on them to start when they got here in this case it was Edmonton, Canada, that the Muslim communities, there are people in the Muslim communities that have been instructed, in fact pressured, to start compiling lists of all the Jews and the Christians in their community. And that kind of thing, it turns out, as we get into that, is being conducted on a rather systematic basis in a number of places in the U.S. as well as Canada. And the implications are, of course, that there are schemes afoot that when the time comes, that database is intended to be useful to our adversaries. The point I'm getting at is the terrorist cells are only is the tip of the iceberg in this issue. And I think that our abhorrence to profiling people at airports and elsewhere is silly. It's just, in fact, it's analogous to the whole foolishness we went through that caused the AIDS epidemic. Our unwillingness to deal with things in a rational manner. You yourself were one of the main pioneers in the whole HIV thing, which is a politically protected epidemic. Well, we have an analogy here. Here we have a group of people who have been trained from childhood in a legacy of hate that now have the means and the agenda to injure this country, and we don't have the freedom, apparently, in our procedural network to deal with this intelligently. And so that's another minefield that we tiptoe through, is this whole issue of profiling. But that's one reason we understand that the Islamic community is recruiting people from Europe and elsewhere. They're blonde, blue-eyed, non-Middle Eastern appearing people to be part of what they're doing.
And not only that, but of course they're working in our prisons, and our good friends the Saudis are financing so much of this, and of course we seem to be doing everything we can to protect the people who are financing Al-Qaeda. It just doesn't seem to make sense. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our good friend Chuck Missler as we go into his analysis of what's going on in America and, of course, in the Middle East today. tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated, they were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierney. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is Chuck Missler from the Koinonia House. Chuck, before I forget, would you mind putting out your address, your website, so people would know how to get in touch with you and the excellent material that you have?
Well, you're very kind to mention that. Yeah, we have our website. We have one of the oldest and largest Christian websites on the network. So I encourage you to check us out. It's khouse, khouse.org. Our ministry is called Koinonia House, which is the Greek term for communion or fellowship. But no one can pronounce it, let alone spell it. Everyone calls us khouse. Our website is khouse, khouse.org. There's an abundance of information there of all that is strategically relevant that I hope you find provocative. So appreciate the plug.
And certainly that interview you had with Avi Lifkin, when we talked about a little earlier, is really a great interview. He's entertaining, but he's got a lot of great information. Well, let's get your take on what's going on in the Middle East and where we're going.
Yeah, pick up another thought. We've talked a number of threads here. Let's talk about these weapons of mass destruction. You know, there's a Syrian defector. This is a journalist. That had quite a reputation. He's won prizes for his integrity and so forth, and he challenged the Syrian regime. Anyway, he was a defector. He defected to Holland, and discovered subsequently that he had terminal cancer, and he spilled the beans to the Dutch newspaper Der Telegraaf, and basically indicated that he knew where some of these weapons of mass destruction are. There is a village of Talfnan. It's just north of a village called Salamija. It's right almost at the Lebanese border, and there's a large Syrian Air Force camp there, and apparently a lot of the vital parts to the WMDs are stored there. But there's also a town just a little bit south, and I should say more probably say south west of there, that's Al-Baida. It's near the, on the map you can find Hama, which is a larger village on most maps. There are tunnels under the town. They're part of an underground factory built by North Koreans for producing Scud missiles. And the Iraqi chemical weapons and some of their medium-range ballistic missiles are stored in those tunnels. And then there's a going a little further south of there, there's a town by the Sinjar, that south of Homs on your map, if you have a map of the area, that also is one of the places. So the point is, there are the mystery about this is that both the U.S. and the Germans were closing in on these, but then suddenly backed off. And here again, the mystery of people who are following this more closely are puzzled by why they haven't sent in special ops teams or something to confirm this and reveal it and what have you. And because obviously we're not going to get cooperation from the Syrians. It was going to take some kind of a project to do this. But the point is, the mystery is why haven't they? And it's my cynicism that suggests that they probably will, but closer to the election. So I personally am anticipating sometime, maybe September, October, we'll be hearing more about these and maybe some other sites where these things, because there's no question about the fact among people in the community that Saddam Hussein had fairly aggressive tendencies. In fact, it was way back in 1981 that the Israelis took out his nuclear capability, if you recall. And so to assume that he was behaving himself and hadn't assembled these things is naive. But the fact that they were skillfully shipped out of the country is no surprise. And they're certainly not going to go, if you know the relationship between Iran and Iraq, they would not go to Iran. The logical place for them to find a safe harbor would be in Syria for a lot of different reasons. But so I personally expect that these weapons of mass destruction will surface as a major issue closer to the election day.
And, of course, my concern is that we're going to say to Syria, well, you've got these weapons of mass destruction. You either turn them over to us or we're going to attack you. And I would think that would be an excellent justification for a war with Syria. Do you think that's a possibility?
It certainly could be. But, you know, another thing we should recognize that Syria is not our only problem. And neither is we have a huge, huge brewing problem with Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Saudi Arabia has been traditionally regarded as an ally of ours, but they in fact did sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty back in 1995, but that didn't prevent them from funding over $1 billion a year to Pakistan to fund Pakistan's nuclear program, which of course has borne fruit. Both Pakistan and India, of course, do have presently nuclear capability. But the point is, the Saudis tried to buy F-15s from us, or maybe F-16s, I forget which it was, but in any case, we wouldn't sell them to them, so they turned to the Chinese and did a deal with them. And as a result of that, there are about 40,000 Chinese engineers and technicians at El Saliel, which is just south of the center of the country of Saudi Arabia, and they have installed 120 CSS-2s. Now, these are medium-range ballistic missiles. They have about a 1,500-kilometer range. They have 12 launchers. But here's the real kicker. They now have three nuclear warheads each because of the... and they obviously supplied... as the quid pro quo from Pakistan.
So we're going to be right back in a minute, but I think that's fascinating. I want to pick that up as soon as we get back here.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to tell you about the Big Berkey and the Berkey Life water filters, which we do carry. The Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. The filters are ceramic filters. There's four of them. They're made of ceramic, and then they're packed with activated carbon, and they're great for taking out your herbicides and pesticides and all the things you want to get out of your water. They'll take out a lot of the chlorine taste, and certainly they'll take out the bacteria and the cryptosporidium and similar things, so that you can actually filter pool water and pond water and river water and lake water. And this is what missionaries have done for 150 years, using this exact same approach. And of course, these are $279 plus $10 shipping. That's the Big Berkey. They're available in every state except Iowa and California. However, if you'd like to get a water filter, a similar water filter that'll put through about 2.5 gallons at a time, it's just exactly the same size as the Big Berkey. It's called the Berkey Light, but it's made out of Lexan, so you can see the water level. And instead of having four ceramic filters, it has two what we call black Berkey filters, and they do a much better job of filtering the water than the Big Berkey does. But you have to replace the filters every 2 to 3 years, depending upon how much you're using it. So you can, of course, this is $199, so you can decide which one you want to get. You can see the pictures of them at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And you can get the Berkey Light in every state except for Iowa. So we hope that you'll want to get this. It does an excellent job of removing just about everything. But neither filter will remove fluoride or lead or arsenic, at least in large amounts. So if you want to get that, there's special filters. They're called post filters. But call us right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kirk's guest today is Chuck Missler, and I'm really fascinated by the fact that he's saying what we've been thinking and talking about for some time in the past, and that is that Syria has the chemical and biological weapons, the weapons of mass destruction that everybody's talking about, and of course, Chuck believes that they're going to suddenly surface one of these days why the Bush administration is going to find out what we've known all along. Then he's talking about the real threat of Saudi Arabia. And I think that this is something you are not hearing about, but the fact that Saudi Arabia has nuclear-tipped missiles there, and of course the Chinese are looking after them. Of course, many of these intermediate-range missiles were built with American technology, which we gave to China. They've given it to Saudi Arabia. And heaven help us. So, you know, we've got real problems over there. And the question is, what are we going to do about it, Chuck?
Well, I think I don't plan to do much about it, but I'll tell you what's going to happen, I think. And that is that these missiles have a range, about 1,500 kilometers, which puts that they could reach all the way to Greece to the west, or they could reach to India to the east. But the real target, of course, is Israel. And Israel, what we're talking about here is no secret to the Israelis. They are fully aware of this and watching with great apprehension. So it's my presumption, and I'll phrase it very carefully, so it's just my presumption, that Israel, at a time when they feel they're an extremist, will take them out preemptively. Just as they did in 1981, they took out Iraq's nuclear capability, and of course got chastised for it by everyone, including the U.S. But aren't we glad they did, because otherwise we would have been facing nuclear capability during Desert Storm. So the point is, it's my presumption that Israel, which has the capability, obviously, they have three submarines, each with 8 cruise missiles, with nuclear weapons offshore, as we speak, as their primary deterrent. it would at a time, whether they do use that as a delivery or whether they use their, you know, the IDF, the Air Force, we'll see. But the point is, I think sometime, and the estimates I get from the people I've talked to that are watching this, sometime before the end of the year, I expect a nuclear event in the Middle East. Because when Israel does take them out, I think they will. It won't go unnoticed. There's going to be, some responses. And part of the timing has to do with what's going on in Iran, because they also have capabilities that they're building. So we see all of this. This cauldron seems to be ready to boil over sometime between now and year end. And so when Avi Lipkin was here and gave us his semi-annual update, he confirmed is exactly what, something we've been saying this for about 2 years in our newsletter, but at the time it was speculative. At this point, it's been confirmed. So we have suddenly a major nuclear power. And you mentioned, too, the Chinese. You should understand that the technology to miniaturize the warheads, which is what allows them to have three warheads each, et cetera, was technology that was sold to China by the Clinton administration for campaign financing. And one of the disturbing things on our horizon is that they've never been held accountable. My great concern is that we'll never have a return to the rule of law in this country until we establish some accountability. And we have incidents that are documented of treason, bribery, witness intimidation, jury tampering, that Larry Klayman at Judicial Watch raised a lot of money to deal with, but nothing's ever been done, and for whatever reason. So I'm concerned, because here we have a direct link now suddenly, because of the compromise of our classified programs in the previous administration, we're now facing capabilities of missiles which have greater precision, miniaturized warheads, et cetera, that were at one time, a proprietary aspect of our defense establishment. At this point, has been compromised, and we're now facing those missiles abroad. So it's going to be, I think, a very, very tense time. And as we look to the fall, we were talking about the SAMs and so forth. I think there's a number of things that are going to contribute to a turbulence, post-election turbulence, that none of us have any real capacity to deal with. That's one reason, our whole interest in this area, of course, is motivated in part by getting people to take a serious look, not just at our political scene the charade that we're seeing going on between now and the fall, but also to re-examine ourselves spiritually, because I think we're moving into a day which is going to be very, very, very... I think the more you know about what the Bible's talking about, and the more you know what's going on in the world, the more it seems that we're heading for a major climax in the near horizon.
Well, I agree with you totally, and we're having Avi with us, I think, on Wednesday. He's back in New York, and so we're going to have with him Wednesday afternoon on the earlier program, the 3-4 program, for those who want to listen. And my concern, Chuck, is that we've got 150,000 American boys over there. This is what worries me, is that it was one thing when the cauldron was bubbling before, but now we've got well over 100,000 American troops over there, that if we get into a nuclear confrontation, they're going to be in the middle of this thing.
Yes, I'm afraid so. You know, one of the things, though, I have to say, that I just got back a few weeks ago from the Air War College. I had an opportunity. I was an invited civilian participant in some things they're doing. And I have to tell you one thing, Stan. I've spent, as you know, 30 years in the strategic community as a Naval Academy graduate, then in the Air Force, and head of the Department of Missiles at Lowry and so forth, and then in the intelligence community. I have to tell you, frankly, that I come away from that exposure profoundly impressed. We have the most impressive group of guys at the helm of the military. We, for the first time in history, have an all-volunteer operation. These guys are professional. They know what they're doing. As we watched Operation Iraqi Freedom, the electronic integration of the battlefield, the organizational integration of the services are all things we used to dream about decades ago. They've really pulled it off. And how they've done it mystifies me, because the disdain with which they were regarded during the previous administration, I would have thought would have had deeper effects. But I see these guys motivated, well-trained. They got their act together. I have to tell you, I came away from that experience recently, profound, and also watching the Iraqi Freedom thing, profoundly impressed. We've got an incredible team there, and I share your concern. I'm concerned several ways. I think it's a tragedy that for the political process is demoralizing them by all this foolishness that's going on the one hand, but also I think the kind of jeopardy they're in, especially as we get into the late part of the year, is going to be very, very substantial.
I agree with you totally. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from New Jersey, and we'll open up our lines here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Chuck is not painting a very happy picture, but I'm glad he's telling you the truth. You probably get tired of hearing me say it. But behind all of this is this spiritual battle in which we're engaged, and you cannot divorce what Chuck is telling you from the biblical prophecies, in my opinion. John, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, a comment and a question. First, I am one of Chuck Missler's Berean Online K-Ration subscribers, and I recall, I just used to listen to the Missler Report also. I recall a few years ago, Chuck, how you endorsed a couple of newsletters, one which is no longer published, that being Washington Dateline, and also Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief. I'd like to know, what are your current recommendations for newsletters and sources of information that we can subscribe to?
Well, I sure be glad to give you. First of all, it may sound very pedestrian, but one of the most profound, reliable source of information is Joe Farah, WorldNet Daily. I know Joe personally. I'm startled with the organization he's put together. His monthly magazine, Whistleblower, is really worth taking, frankly. You can find out almost anything you want to on the net, on the internet, of course, but there's also it's a filtering problem because there's also a lot of foolishness. I'm glad to hear that you're a member of our online fellowship because listeners, I might point out, if you check on our website and give us your email address, we'll give you free of charge a 1 week, one page summary of what happened this week that's biblically relevant and the links that track that particular issue, and it's all without charge if you're interested in that. So I encourage you to when you check our website, check that out. But
now, is that once a week or weekly? It's a weekly.
No, once a week.
Report, right?
Once a week, we do a little one-page summary, and then list just short paragraphs of what's going on. But then list the links that are following that, because there's actually, it all depends on what one's personal interest. We try to, out of all of this, we monitor 10 strategic trends. The rise of Islam, the rise of China, the rise of Europe, those kinds of things, and so so almost all of our stuff is geared to one of those strategic trends. But what we call e-news, this little one-page electronic newsletter, is free of charge. But answering John's question, there are lots of specialized networks. Joe DeCourcy, who was the founder of Intelligence Digest, sold Intelligence Digest to Jane's Publications in London, the military publisher, and so that's still available, but it's part of the Jane's institution at this stage. Joe DeCourcy's non-compete has expired, and so he publishes his own newsletter again, Corsi Intelligence, that is also, you can do a web search and find it, I think, and he's back in business, so to speak, and I've always been impressed with his grasp of the Middle East. In fact, I feel his efforts in that area are among the best in that particular genre. But I think for a general source of information that is reliable, and that's part of it. Reliability, I underscore that, because there's just a lot of foolishness on the net. People, self-styled so-called experts that really are dealing in sensationalism rather than facts. But Joe Farah at WorldNet Daily does a really sound job covering a lot of good bases. He's got a real organization now behind him.
Mm-hmm. I think John Loeffler subscribes to him as well. Is that correct?
Yes. Oh, yes. John, I think he does. Oh, sure, he does.
Yeah, I listen to Steel on Steel. But you still receive the World Affairs Brief?
I don't know if we do or not, because my staff screens a lot of it. I don't think we do. I just may be not personally sensitive to it.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mike calling from Arizona. Hi, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, sure do. I'd like to know. Well, let me preface that first. It's time that America woke up to the fact that our administrations, whether Democrat or Republican, are financing people of ill will throughout the world, including Donald Rumsfeld, who helped set up the nuclear program in North Korea. Now we got people beating the war drums to say we need to do something about North Korea. when they knew darn well what kind of people were running that country, and we've been, you know, Republicans and Democrats alike have been financing this game in China.
All right, do you have a question for Chuck?
Yeah, the question is, why do we need to be more concerned about Syria than we do about Israel, with several hundred nuclear weapons sitting under the Negev Desert, and they've already said that we will use them against anyone, and they didn't make any exclusions about the West or the United States, anyone who we feel threatens us.
All right, fine. Thanks so very much, Mike. Do you want to stay on the air, or do you want to just take the answer off the air?
I can take it off the air.
All right, fine. So why should we be so much more concerned about Syria than about Israel?
Well, I think part of it is our understanding of Israel's foreign policy. They primarily want to be left alone. I don't visualize Israel, for example, launching against the United States. I do anticipate that Israel may very well launch against Saudi Arabia or Iran to take out their weapons capability. Although Israel, has stated publicly that if they are under if it goes to extremists, their targeting will include Damascus and will include Mecca, and so I think if I was in the Muslim camp, I'd be very, very apprehensive about Israel's capability. But if I'm not in that camp, I wouldn't have any fear of Israel. I think those of us, I regard ourselves and a good part of Europe and so forth, are on the sidelines. Not in the direct confrontation between Islam and Israel, but that's naive, because as Avi Lipkin frequently points out, that and anyone who studies the Quran will discover that the agenda of Islam is not just anti-Jewish, it's anti-Christian. The most honest statement I've heard made in this whole arena is one made by Osama bin Laden, who unabashedly pointed out that this is a war between Islam and Christianity. So the point is, we have a real challenge to the West, using the term West in broad sense, but I think most of us would include in that term the Judeo-Christian heritage that we espouse, is under attack by a very, very aggressive regime. And with the great tragedy that the children are taught from this legacy of hate that is disturbing. And so I think that there is no simple answers. I don't think it's as simple as taking Al-Qaeda out. I don't think it's as simple as even the geopolitical tensions between ourselves and Saudi Arabia or Iraq or you name it, make the list. I think that we're facing a deeper problem.
Okay, let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel, California. Hi, Herman.
Hi, thanks for another great program. Joel Skousen for years has been concerned about a possible surprise nuclear attack by Russia with their new type of missiles. Some of their ex-defectors have indicated that was a secret plan. Are you at all concerned about that?
Well, I'm concerned in the sense I expect it, but I think that Russia has I don't see it in their interest as, you know, all-out attack against the U.S. per se. I do think that they are going to position themselves to take advantage of the Middle Eastern situation. So, I watch that with great apprehension. At this point, though, Russia's got its hands full just getting its own act together. But as time goes on, yes, they represent a very, very serious, formidable adversary. I think the potential adversary. I think the good news in a tactical sense is that time at the moment is on their side, in the sense that they have plenty to do to get their own act together before they would undertake some adventures like that.
All right. Anything else, Sherman?
And I don't know if you covered this, but are you fearful of another 9/11 type attack in the U.S. against?
Absolutely. I think it's a certainty, and I think that I expect it to occur after the election. I don't think it'll happen before the election, because I presume that Al-Qaeda recognizes in their strategic interest just to lay low, but once the election is resolved, I think that Al-Qaeda has not changed its agenda, and I think that the form of their attack on us will be, I suspect, very, very different. I don't think they'll repeat exactly the same thing they did before, but there's plenty of ways, whether it's with biochemical weapons or whether it's with SAM missiles on domestic routes or what have you, there's all kinds of ways that we're very, very vulnerable, and our economy is going to be facing quite, in addition to the challenge directly, I think our economic situation in the forthcoming year, 18 months, 2 years, whatever, is going to be very, very serious.
I think so, too. Thanks so much, Herman. Our guest has been Chuck Missler. Chuck, get that telephone number out just one more time, the website.
Well, the website is khouse.org, and our phone number is 1-800-KHOUSE-1.
1-800-KHOUSE-1. God bless you. Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure having you here.
Nice to be with you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable. At the regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that we carry the Miracle 2 soap products here, and of course we can't make any medical claims for them, but we can tell you that we think they're great. My wife uses the gel for all sorts of things, whether it's itchy skin or burning skin or even some of her musculoskeletal aches and pain. She says it really seems to help, and she wouldn't be without it, and I wouldn't be without the moisturizing soap, because it's helped a rash that I've had. And so we use the products ourselves. We think they're great. We've used them for a couple of years now, and of course there's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a gel, a lotion, neutralizing solution. It's a very alkaline solution that some people take for heartburn, and other people take it for their lower gastrointestinal tract. All we can do is say, why don't you try it? You might like it. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. There's an introductory offer. If you want to get all five items together, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I want to mention there's going to be a conspiracy conference over in the Santa Clara area, and it's going to be on the 29th and 30th of May. That's Memorial Day weekend. Now, I am not speaking, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a booth. But Joyce Riley is going to be there, and Len Horowitz, and Rodney Stitz, and Eric Huffschmidt, and a lot of good speakers, and there are going to be some people that you may disagree with, but there are a lot more people I think that you'll agree with. They all have something interesting to say, and I hope that many of you will give serious consideration to calling 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-099, and ask about the conspiracy conference. 209-832-0999, or go to their website at conspiracycon.com. And then we want to mention that we carry the Phenopoly sets. And Phenopoly is a board game that you can play, designed to teach children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And if you're interested in learning more about Phenopoly, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you out there will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're primarily able to do what we do. That's the primary source of our funding and pays for our radio time, as we reach out 5 hours every day by radio, by shortwave, by internet, and by satellite, getting the information out across America. So we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's 2 hours on the Genesis Network we're on right now, 1 hour on the American Freedom Network early in the morning, and then 2 hours of the Radio Liberty Network in the evening. You can pick up our programs with shortwave 4 hours a day, and we have shortwave so we can reach the western part of the United States at 8 to 10 Pacific or 9 to 11 Mountain Time, and of course our regular program, which many people are listening to right now. It's all at 5.745 megahertz. If you need a shortwave set, why, we do carry them. But if you have a shortwave, remember the key to shortwave is a good aerial. And if you have a shortwave set, get yourself a good aerial before you try anything else, and maybe that will bring in our programs. We depend upon you to call other people and tell other people about our programs, because that's how we're building our listening audience. And then, of course, many of you would perhaps like to get a free copy of our March newsletter, because it goes into what happened at the secret cabinet meetings held in the White House in January and February of the year 2001. What were they talking about there? Were they talking about the terrorist threat? Well, I think you'll be fascinating to know what happened. We simply quote from the book by Paul O'Neill entitled The Price of Loyalty. He was the Secretary of the Treasury. He was at all the cabinet meetings, and he was horrified at what he heard. And, well, you'll read about it in our March newsletter. We'd be glad to send you a free copy. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we hope you want to also get our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, which points out that all of the wars of the last century were contrived, as was the war with Iraq. And we simply give you the references to where you can go on the web to find out about the Project for the New American Century, where Rumsfeld and Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and John Bolton were planning this war back in 1998. It's all slam dunked. We just had to have some means of getting into the war. We had to have an excuse. So if you don't believe that, why, go to their website, newamericancentury.org. Or if you don't have access to it, get our syllabus, Iraq, the Untold Story. That's Iraq, the Untold Story. The whole story is there of all the wars of the last century, including the current war that we are engaged in the Middle East, a war that is going to end up dragging on and on and on, and it will never end, at least in my estimation, during our lifetime. And I really fear that terrible things lie ahead for our country, because we've turned against God, and the real problem is that we're involved in a spiritual battle, fought on a military battlefield, a political battlefield, an ideological and cultural battlefield. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.